Good evening, people in Palmer and Sutton and the surrounding areas. This is Greg Gussie, and we have another eclectic and wonderful show for you this evening. First, a couple of things. Over at Palmer Museum of History and Art is a wonderful piece by Saunders McNeil entitled Paradox. If you're interested in organic forms and kinetic pieces that make wonderful sounds when they move, go see this this piece of 7,000 plus eggs. And this is all part of the Palmer Museum's new show, Eggs Extravaganza. So it's open now, and good thing to do on your weekend. And this evening we have with us Rod Ronstadt and Sharon Hine and Gretchen Diemer, three of the best people you could possibly have. I mean, well, yeah, that's good, right up there, top of my list. And we're going to start with Rod bringing us in with a little music, and then we'll get on to Sharon.
Okay. Well, thanks for having us, Greg. I'll do one that I wrote, seeing that Jim was doing so many originals last week. It's called Running Out of Time. Don't make me cry. Don't make me wonder where you are. Don't say goodbye. I've been through this, I'm alive so far, but you made it harder to take it again, cause I'm running out of time. Read every page, the trickling sand is filling the bottom, and I'm showing my age. I waited too long for love. All I can say is take what you need and go where you will. Find a new mystery over the hill. If you're leaving tomorrow, please tell me you love me today. All that you've done, all the stories that you told, where will you run? You've been through this, now you're harder to hold. Before you get old, you'll be moving again. I'm alive so far, but you made it harder to take it again, cause I'm running out of time. Read every page, the triggered sand is filling the bottom, and I'm showing my age. I waited too long for love. All I can say, just take what you need and go where you will. Find a new mystery over the hill. If you're leaving tomorrow, please tell me you love me today. If you're leaving tomorrow, please tell me you love me today.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you, Rod. I should mention to the audience out there that this is live radio. It's a kind of unusual thing these days where you get folks together. What happens, happens. And it has a beautiful nuance to it that you don't get from recorded and edited radio. That it's more human. It's kind of like the old days with FDR, you know, talking about what's going on in the world. We're in your living rooms, whether you like it or not. So, Rod, a little bit about yourself. I know you're as much a fixture of this area as our last guest was, and right up there as a guitarist and songwriter. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I guess if you've been in an area long enough, you become a fixture, huh? That's how it works. Yeah, I've been here 32 years in Alaska. I started playing music nearly the first year that I was here. I was sitting just down the street at the Chase Lounge playing for free drinks.
I see.
And then went from there out to Blackie's Bar out on Kinnick Road. And then it went from there. We just played in various bands, various combinations.
Excellent. So no drinks here, but and you're still playing for free.
Haven't come very far.
That's okay. Well, I'm going to move right on to Sharon. We'll get back to you in a bit. Sharon is also a kind of a fixture here in Palmer, and she does things that will be fairly new and unique to you. We'll start right off. She's a fiber artist. Tell us what a fiber artist is.
Well, that totally depends on what you want it to be. A fiber artist is someone who deals with various type of fibers. The Quilters Guild almost has the quilting sewn up, but anything that has to do with fiber other than quilting is a general definition. But mostly, we're changing that a bit and making fiber artist someone who actually paints various types of fine arts using loose animal fibers.
Very interesting. I should ask, was that quilters sewn up thing a pun on purpose, or did you just...
Do I really have to say?
So you're saying, well, now you've done spinning and weaving and all those kind of good things, and now you're on a quest to make what I guess people would call paintings, things that hang on your wall that are made of fiber. I guess you get some extra depth and perhaps motion in the material from that.
Absolutely. And one of the things that makes these paintings so interesting is that each individual fiber grabs the light in slightly a different way. So just like the difference between oil paints and watercolors and how they deal with light, the fibers themselves have a tendency to either absorb the light or glow differently than any other medium that you can come up with. So fascinating to do.
Would you equate that somewhat with like brush strokes as each fiber relates to how each part of a bristle lays down paint?
It absolutely can be. If you're using long fibers that are a little bit more natural without having been moved around or without having been processed too much, absolutely. They'll look like individual brush strokes. You can also get something as smooth as charcoal type paintings, depending on the technique that you use, how long the fibers are, whether you comb them or cut them, or how to play with them. There's going to be...
Okay, this is important. We're ready.
Pam down at Mad Matters is going to host Dina Tangway during Who Let the Girls Out, and Dina is going to be doing some teaching down there this weekend. So I'm sure that you'll have some information on what time, Saturday, and so forth. But anyone who's interested should go down and check it out. Dina's an excellent teacher. Pam's going to have materials, and it's a really fun medium.
Well, Dina's a superb artist in any medium. Now, will there be a charge or anything for this? Are these classes, or is this just...
You know, that's something that it's going to have to be announced a little bit later on, because I'm not really sure.
Okay, a little later on, but this is happening this weekend.
Last weekend in April, so we have two more weeks to go.
Oh, plenty of time.
Yeah.
Excellent. And where else could people see your work? For instance,
I've had shows both in Anchorage at First Friday and Rod participated in that as well, doing fiber paintings. And we've also done a show at Mad Matters here in Palmer. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping to have another show soon, so maybe we can put it on the air when that's going to be.
Now, I don't know exactly what your relationship is, but I know also down here at Fantastic Fibers, they have some pieces on the wall.
Oh, okay. That used to be Fantastic Fibers. Now it is Forget-Me-Not Fibers, different owners, different location, etc. When I should give a little bit of history.
Yeah.
A woman by the name of Jill Harrison, she also has an alias, Maria Sparks, developed this technique of painting with fibers. And she put it on Facebook. I saw it and just got terribly excited about it, contacted her, and immediately had to try this out. So three of us made some paint, got together, did some fiber painting, and said, what a terrific medium this is.
Okay.
What was your question?
it wasn't really a question. I made a statement saying that there's some fiber art paintings on the walls Non-Essentials there.
Perfect. So, thank you very much for getting me back on track, by the
way. No worries.
Good.
My job.
Oh, you do it well.
Thank you.
So, Forget Me Not Fibers has decided that they enjoy the medium enough that they're holding some classes down there as well. Marilyn Methven is one of the people that took this idea and ran with it as well, and some of her paintings are what are on the wall. Beautiful paintings that she does.
Are there specific types of fiber that you use, yarn or?
Very good question. The yarn itself, not so much. The fiber that you use to make yarn is what we're doing the painting with.
Mm-hmm. And if somebody was interested in this, where would they go to find?
Certainly, you could go to Forget Me Not Fibers. I sell the fibers. There's a Fiber Arts Guild. We meet every Saturday at the Palmer Library. Can I scratch that and start over? We meet the first Saturday at the Palmer Library every month from September through May. And anyone is welcome to join us and find out more about the incredible fiber world.
So you have those things going on right now?
Absolutely.
Super.
In fact, Saturday is our next Fiber Arts Guild meeting, and anyone who'd like to is welcome to come.
Okay.
10:15, Palmer Library.
Anything to add to all this? Are we done with you? That seems too short.
Well, does it? Okay, well, just basic art philosophy is that anyone's an artist. Everyone is an artist. But a lot of times we don't recognize the art within ourselves.
Well, and lots of things are art that people don't realize are art.
Like what?
Radio, for instance.
There you go.
We mentioned that. Next week, for instance, our mutual friend Josh Freifogel will be on. We're going to be talking about the art of publishing.
Absolutely.
I firmly believe everyone is an artist. I believe everyone's a poet. Once we have words and nuance, what more do we need? Let's get back to the fiber thing,
okay.
Because you didn't start with this type of fiber art. Let's talk a little bit about spinning and weaving and the classic things that we know about fiber.
Well, talking about the philosophy, I didn't think I was an artist. And one of these days, I learned how to spin by accident. I truly did not mean to do this. But someone put me in front of a spinning wheel, and I came home with this wad of just gnarled mess and said, look, honey, I made this. He was really nice about that. But from there, the whole idea of being a fiber artist is that it is very much a tactile sensation. Yeah, as you touch, as you move and manipulate the fibers with your fingers, that's where the fun is. Whether it's a very soft and luscious fiber or something rough like flax that you're going to spin into linen. So from spinning to weaving to basket making to anything to really express yourself, because there really are no rules with dealing with fiber.
Well, there are no rules with dealing with art, actually.
Yeah. Isn't that great?
It is great. The I would equate that tactileness with throwing pots. Exactly, you know, and the difference between this or porcelain or the way things feel in your hands, which is why I never was a potter. I loved that so much. I never could accomplish anything because I had to immediately destroy it and throw something else, because it was the act of throwing that was exciting. I presume that's what you're saying about spinning, too.
Exciting and meditative at the same time. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's such a very calming and enjoyable and pleasurable thing. Many of the people that are fiber artists started out maybe knitting, making, crocheting, making things like that. And now, forget it. I'll sell the yarn or give it away, and I'll just want to spin some more so I can feel that fiber.
I see. Yeah. Now, if someone was interested in learning about spinning, where would they go in the area?
Right back to the Fiber Arts Guild. First of all, our guild, every fair in the Hoskins building, we make and give away 100, 150 drop spindles, and we will teach people how to spin right there at the fair. But it's not just at the fair. We also do that throughout the year. There are literally dozens and probably over 100 people that would be more than happy right here in the valley to help anyone learn how to spin.
You're not all that different than crack dealers.
Yeah, that's it exactly. We are enablers.
Oh, wonderful. Well, I'm going to ask Rod to play us another piece. And thank you so much, Sharon. Do you have anything you'd like to add to all that?
So happy to be here.
Yeah,
thank
I think we're going to really excite some people. I know my wife, for one, is just a person who just loves the feel of that yarn in her fingers. So,
you know, I actually had the wonderful opportunity to do some yarn bombing with your wife a couple of years ago, and she was highly creative with the Statue of David.
Well, yeah, I remember that statue, of course. I had to look at it every day. In fact, I thought that was originally knitted for my nose, but apparently not. As everyone knows that the Statue of David is done by
Michelangelo?
Michelangelo, yes. Is naked. And naked statues in Palmer just don't fit the moral requirements of...
So Julie made sure he wasn't naked.
And so he was no longer naked. So yeah. If you can picture that over the radio, in purple nonetheless...
Purple stripes, yeah.
Purple, yeah. That's that was, yeah, so the unnaked David. Yeah, that was wonderful. And you just brought up another piece, which, where did it go in my
yarn
little
bombing?
Mind? Yarn bombing, yes.
Oh, yes.
An international activity.
Absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about that.
The British call it yarn storming. In America, we call it yarn bombing. And this is middle-aged women's graffiti, or guerrilla fiber arts, you might say. This is where you decorate or make art in a public space in a non-destructive manner. So whenever you see various things, statues that have had, a little bit extra added to them, or trees or any other type of public installation, that's yarn bombing. It's generally done anonymously. And we did do a yarn bombing here in Palmer. Hope Cottages, Hope Resources now, had a terrific piece that their people put together as well a couple years ago for Colony Days. And maybe we'll
Yeah, should we expect that again? I thought it was just wonderful, especially the color. The color that you brought to the community was amazing. It's the purples, the yellows, the greens. The things you can do with yarn. You can wrap yarn around trees. You can wrap it around statues. You can wrap it around people.
Do you want to be yarn bombed?
Ooh, I would love it. I'll even stand still for that.
Ooh, okay. Well, maybe we'll have to do a public demonstration of this.
Okay, I think we have something to go. And yes, this is an international occupation. I believe, isn't there even some kind of day set aside for it?
There's a knitting in public day. There's a spinning in public day. Maybe we should do non-anonymous yarn bombing day.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, here once again, we've gone beyond the bounds of reason.
And maybe good taste.
And good taste, yeah. And as we're liking to do here at Radio Free Palmer. And thank you again, Sharon. And I'll ask Rod play us a piece, and we'll go next into the next segment.
All righty. I'm going to do a song that was written by my best friend, Will Mahoney, the infamous Mahoney Band from Wasilla. He's no longer with us. He passed in 2002. He kind of entrusted me with all his songs. He wasn't the most organized person in the world, so he... every week he'd hand me a couple of new songs, and I would compile them, which I did, and then after he passed, I put them all on CDs. But anyway, this is one that he wrote called Only Want to Rise.
In the morning time, see you there lying by my side. I only want to bring you flowers in the spring. You're the one in whom my hopes abide. I only want to find in mountains I must climb. You are there to smile and pull me through. In mountains I must scale, I know that I won't fail. There is no task too great to do for you. Climb. You are there to smile and pull me through. In mountains I must scale, I know that I won't fail. There is no task too great to do for you. And when our season ends and we remember when life's joys and dreams of spirits in the wind, I'll hold you closely near, for I feel a tinge of fear, but I know that death is not the end. I only want to rise in the morning time, see you there lying by my side. I only want to bring you flowers in the spring. You're the one in whom my hopes abide.
That was a great piece. Two things. One, you want to tell us a little bit about your instrument? It's a fine piece.
Yeah. Sharon, who you just spoke to just a few minutes ago, was able to acquire this guitar from a coworker of hers who had had it for many years, 20, 30 years, something like that. Apparently, he never played it. I don't know the backstory of how he acquired it, but anyway, she was able to buy it from him and present it to me for Christmas. It's a 1959 J45 Gibson.
It's a beautiful, beautiful guitar. Almost as nice as mine.
Runs a close second.
Yeah, or something, maybe. Might even be better, though. I'm pretty fond of my my piece. It's right for me. The I haven't mentioned that you and Sharon are related. I didn't know if I was going to do that because I was trying to deal with you as individuals and not as a couple. But you're definitely are a couple and a pretty fine one at that. And your instrument is gorgeous. It has a wonderful sound, as I'm sure the folks have can hear. And it comes from the day when guitars are made in the United States.
Something to be said for age.
Yeah, well,
as we know.
We're all a little older. In fact, wasn't it Sharon who just recently said something about yarn bombing in middle-aged women.
Yeah.
Like, young women can't do this or something. Is there a reason for that?
Well, that's a good question, but I would say that anyone can do the yarn bombing, of course, but who does it? Mostly, middle-aged women.
There you go. Well, so I think it's time that not only do we have some of these exotic things we spoke of earlier, but that we bring young people into yarn bombing. I think it's time. Perhaps a young person society of yarn bombers. It has such a nice ring to it, too. It reminds me of 1968 or something. So let's see. We have a couple more minutes. One more minute before the station break. Say something, Rod. Fill in the dead air.
What would you like me to say?
You can always speak about how wonderful I am. I don't mind that. We're very easy here. We've talked about your guitar. That's maybe a minute more about the fellow whose songs that you.
Will, in my opinion, Will was. First of all, I've heard a lot of homemade songs, and there's a lot of not very good homemade songs, homemade by, I guess you'd say, amateurs, I guess the way you define it. But I feel he was about the best writer that I've been associated with that is as a poet, musical lyricist, I guess you'd say.
Well, certainly the piece you just played was beautiful. It the rhythm of it was just right. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, he was pretty impressive, and he kept writing actually right up until he died. He was 57 when he died, and he was just as prolific writing as he was when he was in his 30s.
Oh, here's a technical question for you. Do you often capo to play an E? Is that the...
No, I don't real often. I just do it so I could get those finger-picking licks in there.
That special thing. Okay. Well, we're going to go to the station break now.
You are listening to KVRF FM, Radio Free Palmer. Our program schedule and playlists are available online at radiofreepalmer.org. Big Cabbage Radio.
And we're back. This is, again, Radio Free Palmer, KVR-FM, 89.5 FM, serving our community here of Palmer and Sutton, and our friends in Nepal who listen to us occasionally. Yes, we're international now, at least according to Mr. Sherpa, one of our friends. So, worldwide, coming to you from Palmer. And why don't you do one more piece, and then we'll let Gretchen read some poetry, and then we'll come back to you. This is Rod Ronstadt on the guitar.
Was a man and a friend always. He stuck with me in the hard-earned days. He never cared, never had no dough. We ramble round in the rain and snow. Here's to you, my rambling boy. May all you ramblin' bring you joy. Here's to you, my ramblin' boy. May all your ramblin' bring you joy. In Tulsa town, we chanced to stray. We thought we'd try work one day. The boss said he had room for one. Says my old pal, I'd rather bum. And here's to you, my ramblin' boy. May all your ramblin' bring you joy. Here's to you, my ramblin' boy. All your ramblin' bring you joy. Late one night in a jungle camp, the weather it was cold and damp. He got the chills and he got 'em bad. They took the only friend I had. And here's to you, my ramblin' boy. May all your ramblin' bring you joy. Here's to you, my ramblin' boy. May all your ramblin' bring you joy. He left me here to ramble on. My rambling pal is dead and gone. And if we die and go somewhere, I bet you a dollar he's a rambling there. Here's to you, my rambling boy. May all your ramblin' bring you joy. Here's to you, my ramblin' boy. May all your ramblin' bring you joy.
Once again, another hand for Rod.
Thank you. Tom Paxton song.
That's what I was going to say. It reminded me of Tom Paxton. Apparently, I was reminded rightly. of course, a lot of you folks have no idea who Tom Paxton is, but you don't?
I do.
Of course you do.
Yes, of course I do.
Of course. It's one of those advantages of being a little older. We've got memories. And I should also mention, because I did talk about our Nepalese friends, and I think we're going to have some Italian friends soon. Well, our show is streamed across the internet, and it will be repeated tomorrow, and then it'll be available online here at KVRF and the RadioFreePalmer.org site. So anytime you want to hear one of our shows or hear Rod or Jim from last week, or avoid the first show because I did that kind of on my own. yeah, that was a kind of an accident of circumstances, and that's a problem with live radio if your people don't show up. So, well, now we're going to move on to Gretchen Diemer, which has been, it's just been too long. I'm going to let Gretchen talk about herself because no one can explain her better than she can explain herself. Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Gretchen.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here. And I have written poetry since I was 10 years old and I'm many years older than that now. And so I continue to write. I am a school teacher, and I was interested in your discussion of art because I think of art as teaching as an art form, definitely. I was also thinking of teaching writing to children, and one of the things they love most is having their poet's license. So when I teach poetry, it gives them a chance to do whatever they want. I said they get to break the rules, and they can do it blatantly and flagrantly and with abandon, which, of course, they love. So
that is one of the things I miss about childhood, that abandon. Often I'll be seen on the streets of Palmer, though, in total abandon.
Do you have your poet's license with you? Or your artist license, I'm sure.
Or something. I don't know. Yeah. I do occasionally get followed around by the Palmer police, though.
But you're probably not alone.
Probably not.
So I've lived in Alaska since 1994 when I dragged my husband out to Norvik so I could teach school and get away from it all, and have been in the state ever since and love it here, and I'm retiring from teaching this year, but on to other things.
Now, since we're talking about your family, you have a son, Jeff, right?
Jeff, yeah. He's in Fairbanks. He was married this summer and has a dog sledding business. When we were in Norvik, he saw the dog teams come through Norvik, said at age 6, I want to do that. And at age 19, he ran the Iditarod. So we were very proud of him, of course. And he's now building his house or cabin off-grid. His wife's in grad school. So last year, she entered grad school. This is last fall of 13. She entered grad school. They started a business and started building a place all in the same year.
So if you want to know anything about dogs, go find Jeff Dieter.
Oh, gosh, yes. And, he's a dog guy.
Yeah, the dog guy.
quite a
young man. I've had the pleasure of meeting him, and pretty exciting. So you've been writing poems for a long time. Any particular style to your poems? I know they're unusual. It's anything you could put a name on.
No, actually
okay.
Not. It's always a hard question. I said, well, poetry's allowed me to say the things that I have no other way of expressing. So it's always been my, just my escape, if you will, my coping mechanism. It's just always, it also helps me with the fact that I'm a really nonlinear thinker, and so I can do that in poetry and say, well, it's poetry and it's mine. So
there you go.
If they're great leaps, it's because that's how I think. And when a book was published of mine a couple years ago by North Shore Press, and the editor interviewed me, and the questions are prepared a little bit in advance, so you have time to think about them. And my dear late husband, Eric, said he really liked listening to that CD of my interview because he said, you actually completed a sentence. I didn't go off on all these tangents. So he did like that.
Well, Oh, we like your tangents. You want to read us a poem? Let's get,
certainly.
Get you going.
Okay, the first poem I'm going to read actually is okay. Is called After the Wedding. And as I said, my son and his now wife, Katie Jo, were married last summer in 2014 in Wisconsin. And then they had a wedding party up in Alaska, up on their property in Fairbanks. And Katie Jo's 90-year-old grandfather had always wanted to come to Alaska. And he decided, even though his health was very poor at the time, that he was coming to the wedding party on their off-grid place in which they lived in a very cold trailer. And so this is, I was not able to go to that party because I was quite sick, but I was thinking about it and started this poem on the day of the party. But it was, and I'm based on some follow-up conversation I had with folks that did go to the party. But it's called After the Wedding for Katie Jo and for her grandfather. Golden shower of birch leaves rained down this first day of autumn in the trees outside your window. Across the dirt road, Nancy's cabin sinks deeper into the damp and darkened soil. Untouched since the storm, since the rotted birch fell across the roof, since the old man arrived in the north to celebrate your marriage. Beautiful granddaughter, he always wanted to fly north. And now you are here, and he stares into the flames of the fire, the light on your face as he imagined the husband at your side, and he states simply, I am so happy. His knees barely hold the shell of his 90-year-old body. He listens to his own breathing, imagines wind, your voice singing across the Chattanooga River Valley. He imagines your voice is wind, flowing water. A shower of leaves coats the woods before first snow. Branches scratch against the window. The old man's teeth chatter in the early morning fire, or the early morning after fire. His eyes lost in the hills, these hills. Your voice so close, so far. He waves so very far away.
Lovely. I like place-centric poems a lot. I don't know if that counts what I like. Okay.
So.
More.
All right.
Give us more.
All right. Another. This one is What You Have Missed These 5 Years. And this is for Eric. He's been gone about 5 years, 5.5 years. One. You miss the marriage of your son, your brother's words, celebrating their communion and you. You missed every tear that fell from my eyes, the Casa Batillo, every sight in Barcelona, each starving cat I fed in Tangier. Your ears deaf to explosions in Aleppo. You miss all of this. Two. In Lanzarote, I found Sosa men that looked like you, a common name, your mother's name. I imagined your blood roamed in their veins. I did not ask. In Granada, sunlight sets on the Alhambra at dusk, a golden hill in perfect peace. I drink wine with friends on the rooftop deck for a moment, not thinking of you. Three. I find a letter you wrote, a promise to grow old, and I spit out your name, crush the paper under my shoe, and then smooth it out, reread your words, as if that will repair everything.
Ah, I should mention Gretchen's husband, Eric Dieter, was a good friend of mine, too. Probably gave me my best line. I remember one day he came into the shop, and he used to come visit me every day, and it was a requirement he brought me coffee. And one day on his third visit to the shop with his third cup of coffee, and I was extremely busy, and I said, you know, Eric, you artists are like Pomeranians. And he said, what? And I said, yeah, you're just a bunch of love-sucking dogs. So, yeah. Well, it's true. That's what I said. So, another poem. Let's do another.
Yeah,
we have time for that.
Yeah, this is a move. This is for an archaeologist who I happen to know is my sister. She's old world archaeology, and the site that she worked at was in Syria. And I don't think it takes, there are very few people that know now that that's not a good place to be and that she's obviously not there. And so, anymore. And she worked at a place called Tel Mozan, which is ancient Urkesh. And this poem's called Notes from Tel Mozan, Ancient Urkesh, for Gina Chown. Woman at midnight, there is nothing left for you here, not a living thing, and you dread the news of the men you know who preserve the fragile mud brick, broken bodies buried under the sheets. What the mother said to the father, he protects the mud brick walls with covers that shield them from sun, from wind, rain, even snow. If it were only snow or wind, said the father before shutting the door, for good, no answer. Simply no answer. We no longer wake and remain the same. In what season did you turn and ask if I heard the world explode? Not the world, you said. Damascus, your friend in Kamishli, your brother in Homs. A hand buried in the sleeve under the wall, the eruption in Aleppo, the souk in flames. You buy your Syrian pepper here. You must have it for hummus. From the old man you bought me the woven scarves, his hands scarred by the golden threads. Centuries his family lived here. Centuries his family sold scarves. But it is the pepper that concerns you, no longer available, which may seem like nothing to you, but the hummus will never be the same. It is the pepper that matters.
It just makes me breathe. But, I can understand that. I think we have time for another if you, okay. You would like to do that.
Sure.
This is a real pleasure for me. I should also mention, you know, one of the most exciting things in my life is every time Gretchen leaves the country, she sends me a postcard. and it's just like, oh, Gretchen's there. Wow.
No, you can expect many, because I'm going to be gone for a while, I think, starting this fall. This is called Reflections on the Unspeakable, with an epigraph from Plato, Only the Dead Have Seen the End of War. 1. By the river, your world is at peace. Down the hill, through wild rose and devil's club, by a braid in the little Susitna, smoke remains from an abandoned fire. Scattered in mud, wedged between rocks, the shotgun shells. You collect the shells and pocket them. Dump a bucket of water on the simmering flames. You do this at dusk, every day. Young boys playing war. You see it in their eyes. Drill, an eye for an eye. Curse and thunderclap, we all go blind. Their fathers do not remember. Grandfathers crushed long ago. 2. Picasso in 1937. Picasso paints the unspeakable, the firebombing of Guernica on market day, a message to anyone of flesh and bone, something bigger roams the skies, your fury, your breath, your iron fist, once more, es ist Feuer, du bist nichts. 3. The disappeared. So many missing, the unmarked graves, tears and more. On every continent it happens, in every passing year, simply they disappear. 4. When you are gone. How do I say this? You are one of the fortunate. Your eyes closed on the rubble and dust of the streets, your hands still at your side, your body incinerated, your breath in morning fog. How do you see in the dark? Does explosion and thunderclap smoke and shattered brick awaken you in the cold? Does the ringing in your ears calm you? Are these questions possible? Is my tongue a razor forever cutting away the unspeakable? 4. El Perro in Barcelona. I met a man in Barcelona on the street with a starving dog. He turned down the food I offered. I shoved it into his hands and carried the dog off under my left arm. The dog grows fat. We lie out in the grass listening to the river and distant sirens. I toss a stick and the dog lifts his head, drops it back at his side. He closes his eyes and sleeps.
And here we can see why poetry is so important. Such a topical piece, and yet dealing with images from the past. Marvelous. Thank you, Gretchen. And once also we can see the problems with live radio when the neighbors are making a bunch of noise. As I said, this is live radio. It's not edited, and we take it all in stride. So I'm going to say thank you again, Gretchen, hopefully we see more of you. You know, the door here at the radio station is open every Thursday at 6 o'clock, so anytime you want to come in with the poem, I'll be excited.
Well, that'll be fun.
Yeah,
maybe I'll just drop by and say I've got a new
You can do that. This is live radio, and drop-ins are more than welcome.
All right.
So I'm going to ask Rod to... tell us more about yourself. I'm going to give you about 5 minutes and then tell us about your artwork, I think, because we did that. And then maybe we'll have you play some music to send us out on the way. You are an accomplished watercolorist. I love your work. I know you're self-effacing, but it's true.
Well, I appreciate that compliment. I don't know what accomplished means, but I work at it and I keep practicing. And what's interesting, I've always been interested in art, but what I find fascinating is the number of musicians that also paint or do something in the visual arts also. Well, do you have any idea why that would be?
Yes.
I've tried to
I do. It's the same thing. It's... You know, when I was a child, of course, I was raised to play the violin. I had a tiny little violin, like you see people go, oh, yeah, that's a wine violin, you know, 3 years old, and I was supposed to play it. I never did get accomplished at that, but I did get accomplished at mathematics. And the way of thinking of an artist, poet, musician, this need to communicate, and I think that's what it is, I think is based in mathematics. It's certainly we have some very old stories about that, whether it's spheres or Pythagoras or the search for harmony that way, and or even Diogenes. I mean, yeah, he didn't just live in a barrel. So, I think there's a universal need to communicate. I think art and music and mathematics and poetry are all facets of that same notion of communication. So that's my answer to your question.
I just know that it's hard to verbalize that, like talking about music or talking about art. It's hard to put into words,
or even talking about mathematics. That's
well, sure.
The only people who get to put it into words are poets.
Yeah, there you go.
And at least to me, poetry is my, I mean, I paint as well. But poetry is painting with words, but it's not painting with words. It's painting with feelings, and perhaps we articulate it with words, like an artist uses a brush to paint. But it's not the words that count. It's the feelings, and I think that's the same with music and visual arts. And I guess that's what I meant by accomplished, that you do communicate through not just your music, but your art. and we get those feelings. So yeah. There you go.
All we can do
How
is try.
How was that for a compliment?
All we can do is try.
Okay. Well, we have 6 minutes. Do you want to play another tune? Do you want to tell us some more about art, or have I put you in a, what's that? We have 4 minutes. Okay.
4 minutes.
Okay. How about a tune?
We'll do a tune.
To work us on out.
And, do an old Nick Lowe song.
As I walked this wicked world, searching for light in the darkness of insanity, oh yeah, I asked myself, is all hope gone? Is there only pain and hatred and misery? Oh yeah. But each time I feel like this inside, one thing I wanna know, what's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? As I walked on through troubled time, my spirit gets so downhearted sometimes. Sometimes, where are the strong? Who are the trusted? And where is the harmony, sweet harmony? But each time I feel it slipping away, just makes me wanna cry. What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? And where is the harmony, sweet harmony? But each time I feel it slipping away, just makes me wanna cry. What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? Understanding, brothers. Understanding, sisters. Understanding.
That's it for tonight. Thanks to Ron Rodstadt, Sharon Hine, and Gretchen Diemer for another wonderful evening for me. And
we're all done already.
Yeah, we're all done.
That's great. So,
okay.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. And to Mike Molesky, our engineer. Good night.